I'll bet against a better team at home. I don't care who got it.
Three massages. Oh, this is
I can say Adlich
one more time.
You can't say stuff like this on podcasts, all right?
Hello and welcome to the Alligator Sports Podcast. This is the show for Friday, December 11th, 2009. I'm your host, Adam Barry, and fresh back from an excursion to Tampa last night are two football writers. We got Kyle Maestri.
I have nothing clever to say.
And Phil Kegler.
I never have anything clever to say.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Sounds about right.
All right, we got a lot to talk about on today's show. We're going to start off with some football stuff. A lot of coaching changes going on around Florida, and then Florida's upcoming opponent in the Sugar Bowl, which I know we're all very inspired to talk about. We're also going to talk about that basketball game we went to go see last night, Florida versus Syracuse. Syracuse won that. Then we're going to do something fun at the end of the show, have these guys project the bowl lines, just a little something different, something interesting to get you ready for the bowl season. And we'll wrap up the show with our Gator guarantees. But let's start off talking about some of the coaching changes. Which one of you guys wants to get us started off with?
Phil does.
With what's happening.
All right.
Look how eager
I
he
sure
looks
do.
Around.
Looking at the floor, hopingly.
Well, former, now Florida defensive coordinator, became the head coach. Charlie Strong became the head coach at Louisville. A couple days, he was introduced yesterday, I believe, Wednesday or Thursday afternoon. Yeah. Former UF wide receivers coach Billy Gonzalez is now the quote-unquote, I read, pass game coach
yeah.
at LSU, not the offensive coordinator.
He's like an assistant offensive coordinator.
Yeah, sure. Big step up, I guess, for him, whatever. And that is the big news. UF has a new wide receivers coach whose name I definitely cannot pronounce. I'm not even going to try.
I'll try. Zach Azani.
There you go. He's from Central Michigan.
Yeah.
Go Chips.
And we still don't know who will be Florida's defensive coordinator moving on, but Charlie Strong will coach the Gators in the Sugar Bowl. Of course, a huge, huge game, Kyle.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a couple of rumors going around as well about some of the other coaching changes. Apparently, I think it's ESPN.com's Chris Lowe said Urban Meyer has been talking to Ole Miss defensive coordinator Tyrone Nix to come in and fill that spot at Florida, which would mean that Dan McCarney, the defensive line coach, and who is it, Chuck Heater, the safeties coach, will not move up to that. What do you guys think about that, going for an outside hire instead of bringing up one of their own guys?
Yeah, I don't think either of those guys really want it, McCarney or Heater. They're both they've been in the coaching business a really long time. Carney's already was a head coach previously. Chuck Heater's been around forever. They're kind of just like those veteran guys. They like their roles. They'll help whoever comes in as defensive coordinator, but they don't really want to be that guy.
Yeah, Phil and I couldn't agree more on this after spending time around both of them. It's absolutely a scenario where I imagine they just didn't want it. And I think Heater was – his official title is like assistant defensive coordinator, right?
Yeah,
even when
probably,
Strong was
I
here.
So, yeah.
So he'll probably like retain that sort of a role with whoever they bring in. But, I mean, yeah, it's no slight to either one of them. I don't think either one of them are going to get upset and pull a Billy Gonzalez. So.
And leave somewhere else.
Yeah, that was a kind of outrageous move, by the way.
Oh, totally. There's definitely hard feelings involved.
Okay.
There has to be. Yeah.
I mean, going to, LSU.
To not even be the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Essentially
that's
do the same thing.
Essentially a lateral move to another SEC team. Urban's not usually a big fan of those, unless he forced him out the door.
Steve Adazio got promoted in front of you. You'd feel the same way, I think. Especially if Stevie's staying around for next year.
Yeah, geez.
Anytime you can work with Jordan Jefferson,
you
can't pass up that opportunity.
Good point. Some of the other rumors going around right now is that Vance Bedford, who is, I believe, the cornerback's coach at Florida right now, and Kenny Carter, the running back's coach, might follow Charlie Strong to Louisville. That's not confirmed or anything, but those rumors are definitely out there. That, you know, Florida's losing more coaches. Just they're cleaning house. Rats off a sinking ship at this point.
Yeah, if
Charlie
I'm Charlie.
Strong's taking all the African American coaches with him. It's a mass exodus.
If I'm Charlie, I think I definitely want Vance Bedford. I think he could be a big guy for me on defense. I don't know if he's going to be a defensive coordinator or not, but I mean, I think he's a very good defensive backs coach.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Carter, kind of, I don't know. I don't know what he's going to bring. I don't feel good about him wanting to be the offensive coordinator. That's a little scary for me. But it is Louisville, I guess. So
Phil and I think same on all the coaches. I think highly of Vance Bedford, cool guy, probably would be do well in an expanded role. And Kenny Carter,
just
I'm not real
ride.
Sure what he does. I know he's a good recruiter, so he'd probably bring him along for something like that. But I know he coached the running backs. I don't really know what kind of coaching went into that. It was like, don't fumble, run fast.
Yeah, run fast.
I could probably do that as well, but I know he's a great recruiter.
Not a whole lot of running backs coaching to do in the bowl game or in the SEC championship game.
His film session for the Sugar Bowl is probably really short. You guys take it easy breaking down the defense. I know you'll be here a couple more hours. I'm going to go hit the clubs.
So, I watched my three plays I was involved in. Good job, guys.
I have to say, if Billy G was going to either be forced out or want to leave or whatever that scenario is, I would have guessed a lot of money that he would have followed Strong to Louisville to become the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, that was
the
rumor.
If I'm Charlie, I want Billy G more than I want Kenny Carter, but I guess that's a feel thing. Billy G also supposedly a really good recruiter, so that hurts Gators.
He's sort of Florida's, like, South Florida recruiting guy, which is funny.
And the closer.
Which is funny, because when they said, you know, they're going to lose him, then they went out and they recruited Cody Riggs. They signed him, a guy from South Florida, St. Thomas Aquinas, so it's like, you can say whatever you want to about losing these assistant coaches, but right now it's not affecting their recruiting for next year.
Well, yeah, and the other thing sometimes to think about is I know Charlie Strong came out and said anyone who's committed to Florida or that Florida wants, he's not going to even try to go after. I mean, that's slightly laughable. I don't know if Louisville's ever going to out-recruit UF, but it'll be interesting. I haven't heard the same clause for Billy Gonzalez, so, you know, it would be interesting to see if he tries to re-recruit any of those guys to bring him to LSU.
You know how I feel about recruiting. I just don't even want to make a big deal now, because we'll have egg on our face later. How'd that new Keys thing work out for Lane Kiffin? That was such a recruiting coup. He won that war, right, didn't he? Like, I mean, you just never know how these things are going to turn out, so let's just wait.
Tim Tebow was recruited once.
Good point, though.
That's true. Indeed he was. As a college football player, he was recruited. And that was quite a story, though, as we've all heard about that. What was the thing, Kyle, we were talking about with Bedford possibly leaving? You think Heater probably just moves over, takes over the secondary as a whole? Probably not a whole lot of coaching changes other than this. I'm sure he'll bring in another guy at running backs coach.
I see no reason why Heater can just coach the entire secondary. Yeah. I'm sure he'll be able to handle that.
Who has to specialize on four starting safety?
Yeah, I think they brought in Vance Bedford just because he had, you know, very good resume. He worked with Charles Woodson at Michigan. He's kind of like a really, like, cornerback specialist that you could bring in. So, I mean, unless you can find another guy like that, I don't think – it's not too much responsibility for Chuck Heater to handle, so.
But then they'll probably have to go out and get a guy to replace Carter, should that happen.
Yeah.
To replace all his
real big
responsibility.
Revolving door around that running backs coach.
Yeah, who was it before Carter?
Stan Drayton.
It was before my time. That's right.
He went to Tennessee,
right. Which was a very not – friendly move.
Yeah.
Similar to the Billy G move.
Yeah, very similar.
Very similar
to Billy
Although
G
Stan
move.
Came out and talked about it. It'll be interesting to see what Billy G did. And Stan was like, Urban Meyer, terrible person, said terrible things about me.
Hmm. Yeah, there, that was a really bad blood. Because then Urban said stuff too, right?
Yeah, about, it was not friendly. Mm. I can't wait, actually, to ask Urban.
Yeah,
it's
starting to get excited.
I'm 1% excited for the show.
I can't wait to ask Steve Adazio about Billy G.
Did Billy G only leave because he couldn't be offensive coordinator for you? Like, was he offended by the notion that you were the team's offensive coordinator instead of him?
Getting all upset because he had to work under you every day, Steve.
On the opposing side, it seems like the Charlie Strong to Louisville move is, like, very amicable. Like, everybody's very happy about that.
That
was so well-deserved. Like,
sure.
Win-win.
I mean, Charlie's... I mean...
That's like a big group hug moment. Everybody's just so happy.
Well, there was something in the Charlie Strong story which I found...
Finally.
So, finally. Yeah, that was great. But there was a part where Charlie's like, they really tried hard to convince me to stay. Yeah. Like, it's like, I mean, I'm sure Urban did. Like, he really wanted Charlie to stay, I'm sure. But at the same time, he knew that, you know, it's probably losing the battle. Like, Charlie really wanted to be a head coach. So I wish him best of luck.
And he got a BCS job, which I believe he was holding out for. So good for him.
Yeah.
A program you could win at. You know,
A program that we were talking about this a couple years ago. They were, like,
you
really
can win
good.
Sure. It's not a day. And you can win in the Big East.
I mean, if you play defense in the Big East, you'd kill people.
Now that Brian Kelly's not going to be at Cincinnati, who is wide open next year.
Speaking of which, that's the most controversial coaching move I think we want to talk about here, because Brian Kelly, former coach of Cincinnati, is going to Notre Dame. His dream job. And he
it was
will...
once Urban Meyer's dream job.
Oh, it still is, Phil. He won't admit it, but it still is. But Brian Kelly will not be coaching his undefeated Cincinnati Bearcats in the Sugar Bowl against Florida. He's flying the coop. He's going to Notre Dame, leaving the whole thing, leaving his players, abandoning them, leaving them out cold.
Let me just say, that last second of the Big 12 championship game seems awful big right now, because... had Colt McCoy's pass taken 1 second longer to hit, you know, I like to think Brian Kelly would coach his team in the national championship.
That's what my brother was saying, too. Like, what was he going to do, leave them in the national championship game?
I got my job, guys. I'm going to
Notre Dame. Have been more awesome in every regard.
But that just shows how self-serving this move is and how much of a you have words I can't say on this podcast, Brian Kelly is. But the bigger problem here, though, too, is college football, as usual, has no systems in place that are good for, you know, anyone. It's just a big joke, like everything they do. So, I mean, in what kind of world can you just leave the job that you're at in the middle of the season? Not even the middle of the season, when you're having a successful season and
undefeated.
You've made it farther than 90% of the teams in the league just to go coach another team. I mean, I made the comparison. Obviously, the two sports are very different. What if the Marlins coached the Marlins to an NLCS appearance and then found out he was going to take the vacant Yankees job the next year, left the Marlins, didn't coach them, and started preparing for next year for the Yankees, who missed the playoffs after a down season? Like, that's almost what it's like to me. And the thing that I don't like, don't write in emails about why Brian Kelly left. I understand why he's not coaching them. He wants to get that 3-week head start on recruiting, okay? I get all that. I understand why. But it doesn't make it the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And even if you want to say it wasn't Brian Kelly's choice, like it was, you know, part of the contract with Notre Dame that he leaves right away, or like that's just how it works, then fine. I'm perfectly fine with blaming it on college football and the fact that these kind of situations are able to transpire. You shouldn't be able to leave and go to another job until your current job is over. Otherwise, what are you playing for the whole season?
Exactly.
What the heck was a point for Cincinnati? Why were they even playing? He was only using this season as a stepping stone to get to Notre Dame. He obviously didn't care about going undefeated at Cincinnati, winning the biggest game in program history. Like,
absolutely.
What's the point?
Well, here's the thing, too. Charlie Strong going to Louisville, he will help coach the Gators in the bowl game. Dan Mullen did last year in the national championship, right? I don't know. Billy G could be a completely different situation this year.
I mean, there's no chance Billy G is coaching the bowl game.
This to me is just completely classes. It's like you abandon your team. Like, what do these players think? Like, thanks, coach. You know, you clearly didn't care about us or about the school, about the program. How do you?
And none of those assistants are running the show, you know?
No.
Like, if they were to leave, like, be okay. Everything's still in place. Like,
yeah, he's the head coach.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. No, it makes you wonder, like, what's even the point? Well, like, what was the point of his entire season? It was just to go to Notre Dame, and college football is just unbelievable that they allow this kind of stuff to happen.
Yeah. It probably makes it a little easier on Florida going into the bowl game against, you know, a team without a head coach. A little easier. Cincinnati's going to have a little harder time preparing. Florida's going to be able to prepare a little bit easier.
Is it too late to rename this bowl game the All-State Apathy Bowl?
No.
Perfect alliteration. Neither team wants to be there.
That's true.
Coaches are abandoning ship.
Yeah.
No one gives a crap about the Sugar
Bowl.
Players
are going to be leaving for the NFL.
Like, is the Sugar Bowl committee? Are they like happy? They're like,
no.
Well, this is great. We made all the right choices here.
I would love to go back to that stupid teleconference that we talked about on the last podcast. Only questions about the Sugar Bowl. And it's just like blank. It's just dead silence. Like dead air about like, well, are you guys still playing the Sugar Bowl? I realize there's very little occasion to.
Yeah. I mean, this is probably what the Sugar Bowl gets, you know, once every 3 years. Because it's always going to happen like this. With the SEC being so good, they're getting the SEC runner-up each year. So that team never really wants to be in it.
Yeah.
And then it just takes a perfect storm for them to pick another really good team that has a coach that's being picked by another school. So, I mean, it's not super surprising. You know, it's probably still going to draw fans.
Yeah.
Still a good matchup. But it's a joke if anyone, like, takes result of this game to mean anything.
Right. I mean, this is what happens when you have a season that requires teams to keep playing even after their season's over.
Yeah.
Like, if we had a playoff, you'd lose and you'd be done.
Yeah, and
then
the coaches could go wherever they wanted to.
Right. And here, it's like you lose in the SEC championship game. Oh, well, you get to play again 3 weeks from now. Like, who even cares?
Yeah.
And then the same thing with... Sorry, go
it's
ahead.
All for the student athletes, Kyle.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
It's a prize.
They love the bowl games.
Yeah.
They can't get enough of the bowl games.
Yeah, this is gonna make their season. This is gonna determine what their season, if it was a success or not, if they win that Sugar Bowl for Florida.
I drove by drove by the practice fields right now.
That,
they're out there working away. I just the motivation, it made its way all the way to my car. I could feel it.
I could feel it driving by. One other thing, though, if I were Cincinnati's players, I would be so motivated to win this game just to prove, like, Brian Kelly is a tool and he wasn't what made their season. He wasn't what made their team great.
Marty Gilliard was very upset.
His quote was like, we don't need you. You weren't the reason for our success. Like, we just went out there and played.
And if he wants to prove that, they'll go out there and beat Florida. But I think Florida's going to be so better prepared, and they're going to have a little less drama going around them, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, man. This game could go anyway to me. Because you have Cincy, who wants to win and prove Brian Kelly didn't want to play. You have Florida, who's
doesn't
coming
care.
Off a terrible loss. Do they really care? But they're probably a little bit more talented. Who knows?
Last thought I have on this is, why do all these coaches insist upon ditching their great situations for, like, turmoiled, like, traditional big jobs.
Yeah.
Like, Brian Kelly could have just made Cincinnati the best team in the Big East for years to come, just stayed there, won a million games, gone to a million BCS games, been a national contender every single year.
He was one second away from being in the national
and
title
instead,
game.
He's going to go to Notre Dame that's a total wreck where expectations are out of control. You're going to get fired in 3 years if you don't win. Like, I just don't understand. The same thing with Rich Rodriguez. It's like West Virginia, great program, top of the line, one of the top programs in the nation. Let me go to Michigan while they're in turmoil. That's worked out real well for him. Like, why can't you just stay put and build a program?
Money.
And especially, exactly, it's always money.
Go ahead.
It's always money, but, like, not even build a program. You've built a program.
Oh, yeah, you already did.
Like, is Cincinnati better than Notre Dame at this point? Like, Notre Dame has so much tradition, but I don't see Notre Dame as, like, this, oh, you got to take it. If you're the Cincinnati coach, you got to take the Notre Dame job.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I think it's a little bit, when these coaches grow up, a lot of these teams were really
exactly.
good. You know, like, I really, money is a factor, but I really do think that there's a level where to them, to Brian Kelly, winning at Notre Dame will mean 10 million times as much to him as winning at Cincinnati.
That's sadly true, but to me that makes no sense.
I mean, it shouldn't be true. I mean, you should be satisfied with just being Cincinnati, being the Big East forever, but he's not going to be.
He could be a national title contender, like, at Cincinnati, possibly.
But, I mean,
in years to come.
It's like, as somebody said, I was listening to ESPN Radio at the Scott Van Pelt show, you know, earlier this year, Brian Kelly was asked about, you know, he's at a school where the stadium seats 35,000 people. They have, like, no practice field, apparently. They practice in their stadium. I mean, there's things of that kind of factor where they don't, you know, like, Brian Kelly wants to be at a place where all the attention's on him, where everyone wants to go to every game.
But now, you know,
I mean, he's asking for if in 3 years he loses
right.
and then he has to go to some worse job, but he's making that risk-reward choice.
Those are all good points, but you know what? If you're really a competitor and you're really as, like, egotistical as these coaches, as we think these coaches are, and you just want to be the man all the time, why not get your name on the field? Why not have it leave Brian Kelly's stadium?
Yeah.
You know, like, why do you want to go to Notre Dame where you're just in a long list of guys who went to Notre Dame? And no matter what you do, it's only because you're at Notre Dame. Isn't there something to be said for Bobby Bowden and Joe Paterno
yes.
and Coach K and guys like that where they just single-handedly built a program and they're going to leave where everyone loves them in that town, in that college. They're going to name buildings and streets after you. You're always going to have a place to go back to where people love you. Like, why ditch all that? I just don't understand.
I mean, yes, there should be. But apparently, you know, it's like Phil said, these guys grow up, they see Notre Dame as, like, the program. And
well,
that's where you want to go.
Good for him. I hope he's fired in 4 years.
I was going to say, I wish nothing but the worst on
Brian
Kelly
absolutely.
At this point.
I mean, yeah, he's not going to solve their defensive woes either. So,
and everybody's going
I
pro.
I thought about that, too.
Same Notre Dame.
Yeah, isn't that weird? What a weird hire. It's like, let's take a guy who's another offensive genius and, you know.
He's Irish.
Right. My mistake. So that's all that counts.
of course he is. I mean, and then what's Clawson's going pro, Golden Tate's going pro. So, like, the best players on Notre Dame's team now are
and
gone.
And their backup quarterback's recovering from an ACL injury, probably not going to be ready for spring practice.
It's a great situation. Yeah. No matter what the situation was, no matter if Notre Dame said, you know, we're not going to hire you unless you come right now, he always could have done the right thing. I know doing the right thing sometimes hard.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, you could just do the right thing, right? I mean, like, is that still on the table for people? No?
Yeah, nope. No, I mean, it certainly is. Yeah, I mean, he's always has the choice that he's going to make. Like,
right.
It's not – nobody's making that choice for him. He signed on the line.
Right. So don't give me crap about, like, he didn't have a choice here. You always have a choice, and he could have done the right thing.
All right, before we move on from football, let's discuss some of the college football awards that were given out Thursday night. Aaron Hernandez, UF tight end. Who has already played, who will play his last game.
Former
UF tight end. That's where I was going. Aaron Hernandez won the Mackey Award for the nation's best tight end. I don't think that's really surprising. I always viewed him as one of the nation's best.
I wasn't surprised he was a finalist. I was surprised he won it.
I honestly don't know who the other finalists were.
Yeah.
Not gonna lie.
Dixon from Oregon, I believe.
Oh, Edward.
And I forgot the other one. But, like, it was somewhere where I didn't think Aaron Hernandez was going to win going in. I mean, he had, like, those games early in the year, and maybe this is one of those they vote 3 weeks in advance. It doesn't really matter, but I don't know. He wasn't, like, all dominating like some of the other people were.
Yeah, but, I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
I don't think any tight end was super dominant the whole year. There was no Jermaine Gresham this year.
Certainly. And then also Marquise Pouncey won the Remington Award for the nation's best center. I really couldn't have less of a clue who he was up against.
I 100% cannot tell you who the other finalists were in that award.
Good for Marquise.
Yeah. Ironically, though, the Mackey and the Remington, were both not shown live on television during the ESPN College Awards show Thursday night.
It's like you have backlash.
Yeah. Well, it was predetermined.
It's like the best technical effects.
Joke, Phil.
I don't know what jokes are.
No, you don't.
And all the ones that UF was up for, they did not win.
Most of which involved Tim Tebow, I believe.
Right. Who just stole the show by...
The biggest disappointment for me is Chaz Henry didn't win.
Oh, yeah, the Ray guy.
He didn't deserve it, though. I love Chaz Henry.
You know why? He didn't get enough chances to punt.
He had a great year, maybe so, but Drew Butler for Georgia,
yeah, that guy
he had. Also had no return yards against him, and he averaged 5 more yards per punt.
It's
he was like at 48, and Chaz Henry's at like 43.
It's only because they were further back and he had more field to punt, too.
I was going to say, the only thing holding Chaz Henry back was punting space.
That could be true.
Also, NFL leg, Chaz
Urban
Henry.
Should have went out of his way to give him a Ray guy moment.
a little
fake
consistent.
That's what was missing from the highlight reel.
One of those little coffin corners, or maybe like, you know, the couple more rugby punts, yeah. Some little stylish.
Yeah.
he really didn't go out of his way.
He goes back to hold a field goal, then all of a sudden he punts it back into the corner of the end zone. That's a Ray guy moment right there.
Yeah. This Urban Meyer lost that award.
Yeah. All right, and then obviously the biggest college football award is coming out Saturday. The Heisman will be presented. Tim Tebow is in New York. And
not,
I mean,
going to win.
He's a finalist, sure, but you know, I'd say he has about as good of a chance to win as you or I do. So let's say, how do we think the voting is actually going to end up? How's it going to pan out?
This has been, as much as I normally dislike college football and the way everything works, this season's especially stuck in my craw. So I expect that to continue. And Colt McCoy's going to win, of course. Not that he deserves it. Not that he had a good year, because of course he didn't. Although he already won the Davey O'Brien
and the Maxwell, the Walter Camp Player of the Year.
Well, it is his turn. Like we've said before, Career Achievement Award. His team's undefeated in the national championship game. Enjoy, Colt McCoy. You did nothing to earn it, but you will indeed be the Heisman Trophy winner, I believe.
Do you have a top three?
How's it going to finish?
Yeah.
Or what,
how's
what
it going to pan
want?
Out?
Okay, how it's going to pan out? It's going to be Colt. Then Ingram and Gerhardt in some combination. I really can't. They'll tie.
They're going to tie for a second.
Gerhardt did take the Doak Walker, which I found was pretty interesting.
Huh.
But again, those awards are even worse, I think, about voting really early.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure I'm almost positive Jim had nothing for Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
And Toby, whose season finished like, you know, 100 years ago, like they could see off his season by the time they voted.
It's true. So. You got a top three kegs?
I couldn't be more distressed that Colt McCoy won all those Player of the Year awards.
Distressed.
Because it's just
sweating.
You can't avoid this happening. So I guess he's going to win. It's going to be so unfortunate. I really want Mark Ingram to win.
Predict the top three finish. Prediction, not what you want.
McCoy, Ingram, Gerhardt, Sue, Tebow. Go all the way down.
Same. I'll go with that exact finish.
All right. Well,
that means
I'm gonna,
it definitely won't happen. Yeah.
So I'm going to mix it up here, and I'm going to say what I think is going to happen, just because I want to have a belief in humanity to not screw this up.
You're so naive.
I know. I'm so optimistic here. I'm going to say Ingram wins it, even though, yeah, McCoy's going to win. But I'm going to say Ingram wins it. McCoy second and Sue third. I feel like Sue's going to get enough second and third place votes,
I don't know.
He's a trendy pick right now. And I think he slips in there at third, which is devastating to me because I want Toby to be up there. But I think Gerhardt 4, Tebow 5, Kellen Moore 6.
Well, if I could pick the ballot, I'd do Ingram, Gerhardt, then Sue.
Yeah.
That would be my top three.
That would be my top
three. If I had a
vote,
which I don't.
Yeah.
Well, if I had a vote, I'd vote Kellen Moore first. So
maybe
he'd get into
New
York, but he's not even there.
Among the top five, that would be your. That's fair. That's a good top three.
Kellen Moore threw 39 touchdowns and 3 interceptions.
When he plays some more real defense, we'll check in.
At least concede me this. I know you will, but I want the listeners to hear this. Why is he not up for the Davey O'Brien, but Case Keenum is?
Yeah.
There's no reasoning
for
this.
Thank you. At least we can all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
I mean, I'd say Kellen Moore should be a Heisman finalist. He's in the top three.
You're saying, okay, Kellen Moore, you're a small school guy, so we don't care that you had the greatest offensive season of all time. And then it's like, Case Keenum... You threw the ball 80 times, so you racked up all these meaningless yards. We're just going to put you in there because 500 yards a game is so impressive.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on. Let's talk about Florida basketball a little bit. They played last night in Tampa as part of the SEC Big East Invitational against Syracuse, number 7 Syracuse.
A very well-run event, may I say.
Oh, jeez.
But...
We were all three there. That was maybe one of the worst run events I've ever experienced. But Phil, you and
along
I were
with the 1,000 people in the stands.
You and I were all over ESPN for it, so I'm not going to complain too much.
Yeah, everybody was telling me this.
Yeah, so. I was getting texts and Facebook messages just all over the place. But me and the well-dressed Phil Kegler and I all
say?
Up on ESPN. But anyway, Florida lost, took its first loss of the year. They moved to 8-1. They will obviously fall out of the top 10, probably still be in the top 20, I'd say, because Syracuse, very good team. Syracuse is probably going to be a top 5 team after beating Florida.
Yep.
Billy Donovan said they're a national title contender, which I couldn't
agree with more, Billy.
I wasn't convinced they were a top 20 team before the year started, so you're going to have a long way
Neither
to go.
Neither were the voters.
Yeah,
not,
obviously.
It was interesting, though, that both Florida and Syracuse were not in the preseason AP poll, and then both are already in the top 10 by then.
4 weeks into the year, top 10 team.
I'm going to eat some crow here. I'm never wrong, so I never have to do this.
Yep.
But I couldn't have been more wrong about Syracuse. But I will say, nobody knew about Wesley Johnson. No one knew about him. So
I mean, he sat out last year. He was an Iowa State
Jim
guy.
Jim Boeheim knew about him.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
But nobody else knew about him. And he's really just been incredible for them and a really like a missing part that I think is making the team go. So I still don't think Syracuse is a national title contender.
No.
I think that's getting way out of hand. But they'll obviously be in the tournament. I think
they're a Sweet 16.
They're definitely
possibly
capable of making a deep run into the tournament. So
they have everything they need. They have good guards. They're big. They're physical. They play that zone well.
Because zone's clicking this
year. They're so long though. Like their two starting guards are 6'4". Then they got 6'7", 6'9", 6'9". They play that zone perfectly. Yeah, and Florida ate it against them.
Syracuse is way better than I thought. Yeah. So I'll cop to that early now. There's no way I'm going to stick on like a flaming bandwagon that I was driving for a while there. So
that bandwagon's going off the cliff.
As well, say that Florida is much better than I thought they would be coming into this season.
Respect for everyone.
So, if they didn't make the tournament, I would be shocked. I do think, as I wrote, this loss, was just a team that's better than Florida. You know, Syracuse is better than Florida. Florida did what it could. But I do worry slightly about Florida in the SEC and Florida's front court, especially in the SEC.
Rightfully
but that doesn't mean the back court can still get them 9, maybe 10 wins. So Florida's back court's very good, especially with Parsons coming off the bench.
Yeah, we're going to have to worry about Florida's front court if they can't stop the likes of Rick Jackson. Starting power forward Rick Jackson for Syracuse was averaging 8.3 points a game, I think, coming into it. And then he had what?
He had 16 in the first half.
I was watching the replay. I was watching some game tape. He actually had 21. The official scoring screwed that up.
So he did have
21, but they gave 2 points to somebody else.
not surprised at that event.
Yeah, exactly. So Rick Jackson just dominated. In the first half, I think he had, how many points did he have in the first half?
He had 16 points and 7 offensive rebounds.
Yeah, he out-rebounded on the offensive glass, Florida's entire team. He had 7 offensive rebounds in the first half. Florida had 6 as a team.
And he only had one hand. He might as well have been playing with his right hand behind his back because he only went up on the glass with his left hand.
Just left-handed layups.
You know what I don't have to eat some crow about? Vernon Macklin. Because seriously, this was his game. Like, Rick Jackson is not good.
No.
And Lorenzo Onuwaku is decent.
Yeah,
you know,
he's average,
like,
He's going to get pwned in the Big East.
Rick Jackson's not a total disaster, but he's not like...
He's not incompetent.
He shouldn't explode for 20 points and pull down 7 offensive rebounds in the first half.
You know what he should do? Score about 8-10 points a game, which is what he had done.
Exactly. And Vernon Macklin comes away with a 5-4 line.
And 4 fouls.
He was pretty much non-existent out there. It was just that he couldn't even foul the right guy because Rick Jackson shoots like 40% from the line for his career. They should have been fouling the crap out of him, but instead it was... just left-hand layup after left-hand layup.
Yeah, you've got to be concerned about Florida's front court after that game because Vernon Macklin took all the 4 shots, had 5 points, 4 rebounds. Alex Tyus just took every shot he could possibly take.
I have something outrageous to say.
Uh-oh.
Listen up.
Uh-oh.
All right, Alex Tyus has long been my boy since he first stepped on campus. I've always liked him, even as a freshman that was toiling on the bench. But I think Billy Donovan should have a talk with him, and if he's not willing to change, I'd sit his ass on the bench, because he's the most selfish player I've ever seen right now.
Yeah.
The whole team, every Billy Donovan team operates on a sense of like selflessness and just getting the right shot, working the ball around, moving the ball, everyone's a good passer. There are just times where Alex Tyus knows when the ball's coming to him, I'm getting a shot off. No matter what, I'm getting a shot off. And nobody else thinks like that. He's a cancer right now, and I would sit his ass on the bench until he can change his mind. We should have all seen this coming when he wanted to transfer because he couldn't play the position he wanted to. I mean, he's obviously not selfless. He wasn't willing to do what the team needed of him last year or ever. So I couldn't be more upset with him, and I think he needs to take a little look in the mirror.
Yeah, he's sort of the opposite of a team player right now, which is funny because you look at a guy like Kenny Boynton, who is an elite scorer, and he comes in selfless. Like, he's passing the ball around. He's looking to make the extra
–
plays great defense. He's looking to make the extra pass. Mm-hmm. Tyus does not play defense, period, especially good defense. And then he's just looking for his own shot. He shot 4 for 11. He took 7 more shots than Vernon Maclin did.
Yeah. The most telling thing for me Thursday night was Billy Donovan after the game, when asked about his front court, said, "What I really look for is their fight.
Yeah.
There's some nights guys are just going to get overpowered." When Billy Donovan is already – I mean, he's been saying all along Vernon Macklin's not the savior. But when Billy D's just saying that when you go up against guys like Syracuse's front court, which is not even by far the best big men in the Big East.
Yeah, but
and
it's
just going to get overpowered. I mean, that's not a good sign when you're going against pretty decent front courts, the SEC.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a good front court, but still he's saying is discouraging.
Of the four of them, I think Tyus is the best player. Of Tyus, Maclin, Jackson, and Onuwaku, I think Tyus is the best player. He's the most athletic, and he has the most skills. But, I mean, he doesn't play. His mentality, he has a worse mentality of all of them.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, that shouldn't happen. Like, maybe Macklin's the worst, and then that, like, kind of cancels out. But I think there's no reason Tyus dominated this team last year. He dominated that front court.
24 points.
So they're not so much better than Alex Tyus. I think Alex Tyus is actually better than them. But I don't know what happened out there. They just couldn't. They can box anyone out.
That's probably Florida's biggest
10-year-old
problem.
10-year-old out there.
That's probably Florida's biggest problem at this point. It's something we tried to get Billy to talk about at the beginning of the week before the Syracuse game, and he wouldn't really acknowledge that, like, they had a problem there. Mm-hmm. He just said, guys aren't, they're getting in good position or whatever. Their balls just aren't falling their way. They're not getting in good position. Dan Warner's going up against for rebounds, and he's not pulling them down against guys even like Rick Jackson or Onuwaku. There's a problem down there. It's something they need to address. It's something they really need to focus on. When Chandler Parsons is your leading rebounder coming into the game, that's not a good thing when you got, three people starting in the front court ahead of him, 3-4 guys put in the front court
ahead
of him.
I am impressed by the way Chandler Parsons is playing this year.
Me too.
Just put that out there.
But dropped 19.
He's good.
He's playing very
well. But Billy, this can all be the same conversation with Tyus. You scoot Maclin into the room, maybe Eric Murphy. Now I would just say, look,
not Kenny Kidd.
Now this isn't going to go over well with Tyus because he only wants to score, but I would sit them down and just be like, we don't need you to score points. We don't. Like, I don't care how many points you score. You score 6 points a game, each of you. I don't care.
Yeah.
But I need you to rebound, and I need you to block shots.
Yeah.
So, like, seriously, I mean, this is what they need out of their big men, and Tyus is having none of it, and Macklin's not good enough to do it. So,
exactly.
I don't know. It's just they're going to have to fix that at some point, though.
The problem comes when Maclin tries to score, because what he is good enough to do is just run the floor,
dunk the ball, get rebounds,
and block 2 or 3 shots a game. That's all they need him to do.
If he can grab 10 boards, if he can grab 8 boards a game, block a shot and a half a game and score 7 points, that's a great season for him.
And he's more than capable of doing that. It's just when he's getting pushed around by guys who aren't as good as him, it's when it's all mental for him, I'm convinced. I don't think he's got the physical tools to be a good player. He doesn't get in good position.
I don't think he's super coordinated.
He managed to get 4 fouls and not really seem very aggressive on defense. Like, he made no big plays on defense, but yet managed to, like, foul.
He had that one sweet block in 3.
He did have that one block.
That was in a period of clownish basketball.
He's in good shape, and he's athletic. I just don't know if he has, like, the coordination, if you know what I'm talking about. Like, he just doesn't look... He moves dirty, as Matt Herring would say, the strength and conditioning coach. Is like... You can just see a guy out there, like, when he doesn't, like, move correctly, like, he just, like, he has, like, awkward, like, moments out there.
Yeah.
Like, he moves dirty to me. That's what I see when I look at him. But
it's a fair point. All right, and we're going to do something a little fun here for a change on the podcast. We're going to have Kyle and Phil project what they think the lines will be for all 32 of the bowl games we're able to do this for, correct?
Right. 2 games we're not picking, the Eagle Bank Bowl. Because it's still up in the air whether Army or UCLA will play in that game. And the Sugar Bowl, because sadly a line made its way to me. I read it somewhere. I'm ineligible.
Okay. All right. So we're going to start from the beginning. December 19th, mere 8 days from now, the New Mexico Bowl will be played in Albuquerque, New Mexico, between Wyoming and Fresno State. Phil, you're going first?
No,
Kyle's
going first. I've already made mine.
So. Okay, Kyle's going
to
go first.
Okay. Yeah, if you've ever listened to the... Bill Simmons podcast with him and Uncle Sal do this.
Cousin Sal.
I'm
Cousin Sal, correct. wrong Sal relative. I'll be playing the Simmons role. Yeah. Phil will be playing the Cousin Sal role, where he already has the lines written and stuff. All right,
I'm
going to
be Joe Mead.
All right, this one, God, these early games are going to be brutal for me.
They are.
I'm going to do Fresno by 6.5.
All right, I had Fresno by 10.5.
All right, Phil gets this one because it was Fresno by 11.
Enjoy that.
An impressive start for Kegler.
Line, no, I will be very bad by the time this ends.
Good work, good
Some
work.
To. All right, moving on. If I can use this here. We got the St. Petersburg Bowl between Central Florida and Rutgers.
Played at the Trop, baby.
I call this one the Bobby Colobi Bowl.
All right. I'm going to say Rutgers by 11.5.
I went a little bit small on that. I went Rutgers by 9.5.
Phil takes this one as well. Inexplicably, Rutgers by 2.5.
What? Well, I'm going to bet on that.
I'm going to throw all the money I have.
That's outrageous.
Wow. Well, okay. I thought it would come down a little because they were playing in Florida.
I thought you were going to say it was in the middle.
UCF did make a good run, I guess, at the end of the year.
Well, kids, take that one to Vegas.
Well,
it's a St. Petersburg Bowl. All right, moving on.
No less these, about this next
one. These early games are just going to be
this
brutal.
This is the big one here. We got the New Orleans Bowl. From Middle Tennessee State, go Raiders, and Southern Mississippi.
Where is played it? In the Superdome.
In New Orleans.
A couple weeks
Louisiana.
Before the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah.
All right, Southern Miss by... Good God.
Kyle's on the
eight
spot
and a half.
Here, by the way.
8.5?
Yeah.
I had 7.5.
Phil takes this one as well. Jeez. Southern Miss by 4.
This is a beating.
This is.
This is a beatdown.
Kyle, you're going to have to come back big.
These early games are so tough, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
All right, next one. We got the Las Vegas Bowl. Played in Sam Boyd Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. Between BYU and Oregon State.
It's also the MACO Las Vegas Bowl.
Nope, I don't have sponsors in the thing.
Oh,
I'm
well, I'm
going
to have to chime in then.
Great. Kyle?
Oregon State by 3.
Oregon State by 6.5.
Kyle takes this one. Oregon State by 2.5.
Thank God.
Kyle's back in the game, kids. He's
off,
on board.
Get off the schneid there. This could have got ugly real quick.
All right, coming up next, we got the Poinsettia Bowl in San Diego, California.
I feel I may have got the favorite wrong in this case.
That's my worst nightmare, is I'm going to give a team by 7.5 and the other team's favored.
Yeah. All right, between Utah and California.
Utah and California, and it's where again?
It is in San Diego.
This is the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl.
Ooh, one of my favorites.
Cal by 1.
Cal by 3.5.
Oh, Phil, right on the money.
Oh, God, unreal.
Cal by 3.5 in that one. All right, next up, we got the Hawaii Bowl, played in beautiful Honolulu, between SMU and Nevada.
This is very interesting, of course, since SMU coach June Jones... Going back to Hawaii.
Yeah, going back to the homeland.
Former program.
Correct.
All right, there, Kyle.
SMU.
First bowl in like 25 years.
Nevada. Couple of great programs.
The best.
Christmas Eve.
The Mustangs. Got the Wolf Pack.
I'm so saying, much at stake.
This is one where I'm going to get the favorite. All right, Nevada.
No.
By 3.5.
All right, I went massively bigger then, so when I was way off, I had Nevada by 13.5.
Oh, Phil, you're so good. Nevada by 14.5.
SMU's not good, man.
Yeah. All right.
All right, it appears I have the sponsor for this one. Oh, no, I don't, actually. It's the Little Caesars Bowl.
Did not know they had a bowl.
Yeah, is that new? What did that change? It's in Detroit.
I didn't know that it was a bowl in Detroit, so I don't know.
All right, well, the Little Caesars Bowl between Ohio and Marshall in Detroit.
Ohio, Marshall, Detroit. Good God.
It's like Urban Meyer to
Prescott. I couldn't have less of a clue about this one. Marshall by 1.
Well, one of us is going to get the favorite rock here. Yeah. I had Ohio minus 3.5 because they were in the C. They played Central Michigan, right, for that title, the MAC?
The MAC.
Title? Yeah.
Well, Kyle, Ohio is the favorite here. Jeez. Ohio by 2.5. Phil, once again. Phil, you got a second career
the
here.
BCS bowls here.
Yeah. This is brutal.
I mean, I can't bet any of these right, though, so I wouldn't win.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, day after Christmas, we got the Meineke Car Care Bowl in Charlotte, North Carolina, between the home team, North Carolina, and Pittsburgh.
North Carolina and Pitt.
It's in Charlotte.
Pitt by 6.5.
I had 4.5.
Pitt by 3.
What? I ain't gonna bet all my money there.
It's probably just because Carolina is playing relatively close to home in Charlotte. All right, coming up next, the Emerald Bowl in San Francisco, Boston College, USC. USC finished 6th in the Pac-10.
Yeah, it's like worst bowl ever.
Yeah.
USC, 7.5.
11?
USC by 9. You get that one? Won. By half a point.
That was close.
That one, I had to do a little math in my head there real quick. I had to say it out loud first and then
feel worse about
through it.
The next one.
Yeah, this is a doozy. We got the Music City Bowl.
The Gaylord Hotels.
Oh, good. Gaylord Hotels.
Thank God.
Music City Bowl.
Glad to see Gaylord Hotels kept their sponsorship. We were concerned.
In Nashville, Tennessee, between Kentucky and Clemson.
Clemson by 4.
Okay, I'm going to 10.5 I had.
Clemson by 7. Kyle, you get this one by another half a point, right?
Whew. Solid. I'll take my win anyway.
You win narrow. Phil wins big. Wins big, loses big. All right, next up, the Independence Bowl in Shreveport, Louisiana. Texas A&M in Georgia.
Texas A&M in Georgia. In where now?
In Louisiana, Shreveport.
Okay.
It's
about as neutral as it gets.
Independence Stadium.
Yeah, Texas A&M in Georgia. Here we go. Georgia... by 2.5.
Well, I went completely opposite. Texas A&M by 2.5.
Kyle gets this one because Georgia's favored to win by 7.5.
Okay.
Thank God.
That's kind of an outrageous, I don't know. I don't think
Georgia's any good. I'm starting to question whether or not you cheated, so I'm glad this is going the other way, finally.
All right, next up, we got the Champs Sports Bowl, played in the Citrus Bowl in Orlando, Florida, between Wisconsin and Miami.
Wisconsin, Miami... You got the Badgers. You got the Hurricanes. Corey Harris minus. Yeah, unreal. Minus 4.5.
It's 6.5.
Kyle gets this one. Miami minus 3.
Whew.
Kyle's making a raging comeback.
All right. We're still in this. We're still in this. Rallying the troops.
All right. Next.
Steady in the boat.
Next up, December 30th, the Humanitarian Bowl in Bronco Stadium, Boise. Bowling Green versus Idaho.
Kill me. I just concede. I don't even want to make a fool out of myself on this one. Idaho and who?
Bowling Green.
Bowling Green and Meyer.
In Idaho, yeah.
You got the Vandals.
On the blue field.
Yeah, on the blue field.
God damn it. Idaho by 1.
3.5.
You picked Idaho by 3.5?
Yeah.
Well, Bowling Green favored to win by 1.
All right. I'm only 2 points off there. Going the other way.
2 points and one team off.
That's all right.
All right.
I've done worse so far.
All right. Here we go. The Texas Bowl. Played in Reliant Stadium in Houston, Texas.
Oh, no. You have this... a different order. Great. Okay.
All right.
You're fine.
Between Navy and Missouri, actually.
Okay. There's no line.
There's no line for this game.
Great.
So,
going on.
Yeah. We're gonna call that one a push.
Yeah, whatever.
No, Phil can just have that one. that's a push.
Yeah. All right. Then the Holiday Bowl, played in Qualcomm Stadium in San Diego, California, between Nebraska and Arizona. Jeez.
Okay.
Recently, good game.
This is the All Defense Bowl.
Yep.
This is gonna be Zona by 2.
Nebraska by 2.5.
Hold on, I just lost it there.
Great. I like the suspense.
Holiday Bowl.
Arizona by 1.
All right, let's get a recap. What's the score here? I feel like I've made it close.
Phil, you got the score, right?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Oh.
7 apiece.
All right. We got ourselves a game here,
well,
kids.
Well, not quite the back-and-forth affair that we wanted, but we're all even after 14.
All right, what do we have to hear? The Armed Forces Bowl?
Yeah, I got it.
The Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas, between Air Force and Houston. The pass-happy Houston versus the run-happy Air Force.
Air Force in Houston, where now?
Fort Worth, Texas.
Houston stomping ground. All right, we're going to go Houston... by 7.5.
That's the exact same line I had.
Well,
call that a tie.
That's a tie. It's actually Houston by 4.5.
All right. Well, we're both equally wrong.
Yeah, nice job, guys. All right, next up, the Sun Bowl. Played in El Paso, Texas.
The Brute Sun Bowl,
of course, between
the
Fighting Toby Gerharts and Oklahoma.
El Paso, Texas.
Yeah.
Good God. Stanford by... I think this line's going to be oddly big because everyone likes Stanford. 9.
No Andrew Luck in this game.
That's true.
I had Stanford by 4.5.
Oklahoma by 8.5.
What?
Wow.
Enjoy that one, kids.
All right. Well, I would say go put all your money on it, but the last time I did that, about an 8.5-point underdog against Oklahoma, Oklahoma State lost big time. I'll take that win.
Wow. I can't
That's
be
an
any
outrageous,
more shocked
yeah.
by that.
Is there something we don't know about with Stanford and Oklahoma right now? I
guess their backup quarterback's really bad.
Do they have a backup quarterback?
I don't know. Oklahoma's defense is decent.
I don't want to play anymore. That's devastating.
All right. Coming up next, we got the Insight Bowl, played in Tempe, Arizona, between Iowa State and Minnesota.
And I feel great because I'll not be watching this game because it's on the NFL Network.
Oh, you come over to my place.
Iowa you guys will be in New
State
Orleans
and Minnesota where?
In Tempe.
Okay. Minnesota.
No home field advantage here.
Minnesota by a touchdown.
I had Minnesota by 1.
Minnesota by 2.
Nice.
Nicely done, Phil. All right, coming
7.
Up.
Only a wide gap.
Coming up, we're on New Year's Eve here. The Chick-fil-A Bowl in Atlanta between Tennessee and Virginia Tech.
Interested to see this one.
Crap. I don't know. I don't know what to do.
A lot of pressure. A lot of pressure. Tennessee, Virginia Tech in Atlanta. The Georgia Dome. You were there not too long ago.
The Vols, the Hokies. Next. Kiffin, Beamer. God.
Hostesses. No hostesses.
I guess.
Nothing like a hostess joke to spice this up.
VT by 2.5.
And VT by 7.5.
VT by 5. You're both 2.5.
Another push. All right. Great. Like glad to hear it.
Our slow math is really impressive. Like I read it, then we all have to think about it equally.
Should have went for the field goal.
All right. Up next, the Outback Bowl. We're on back on New Year's Day here. The Outback Bowl in Raymond James Stadium in Tampa between Northwestern and Auburn.
Outback Bowl, Raymond James Stadium.
Tampa. Northwestern.
We got the Wildcats.
The Tigers.
All right. Auburn,
mm-hmm.
4.5.
I went big, 10.5, Auburn.
Auburn by 7.
Give us a minute.
What was yours?
4.5.
You
get that
you
one, yeah.
By point.
Judges?
We do. We need a fourth person. Yeah. I mean,
just on the calculator.
Scrolling down numbers. All right, up next we got the Gator Bowl.
Ooh.
The Bobby Bowden Bowl. In Jacksonville, Florida, between Florida State and West Virginia.
Okay.
Bobby Bowden's final game against his former team.
West Virginia by 10.5.
That's the exact same line I picked.
Well, okay. You both really like West Virginia. It's West Virginia by 2.5.
Okay, I'm going to take all the money I have. I've now bet that 3 times.
2.5 for West Virginia?
Yeah.
It's all Christian
about the emotion.
Back.
It's Christian Bobby.
Is someone I don't know?
There's so much emotion. Bobby Bowden's last
He's
game.
He's going to go out a winner.
They're in Jacksonville.
All right. If you say so.
All right. Here we go. We got the Capital One Bowl. Orlando, Florida. LSU. It's Les Miles clock management versus Penn State. Orlando. Capital One Bowl. LSU. Penn State. Maestri.
See, this is tough because Vegas rightly ignores the polls.
Yeah.
Where Penn State's going to, you know, be the favorite.
Yeah.
But LSU plays defense in the SEC. Vegas knows that. They like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I hate both these teams. God, just kill me. Tigers, pick them.
Okay. I had LSU by 3.5.
Kyle wins. Penn State by 3.
Okay. You went when you picked. I went right down the middle. I couldn't decide. I could see it going either way.
All right, here we go. The Granddaddy, the Mall, the Rose Bowl.
Are we tied right now? Is it 9-9?
Yeah. Can we get a recap before we go into the?
There's been a lot of pushes.
Yeah.
A game got thrown out.
Yeah. Before we go into the BCS bowls and those crappy bowls before the,
all right, I'm
the big
at
one.
9.
I think
you're
it's 9-9.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Ah.
Oh,
this couldn't
all.
Be close.
God, this is,
how
this
many
is
games
worth...
do we have left?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Ten games left. Down,
ten
hitting
games.
The home stretch here.
All right, here we go. We're at the Rose Bowl.
Phil almost demoralized me. He almost ran me out of the gym.
That was
I almost quit.
Start. Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Almost pulled
the
Notre
Dame
and didn't play his bowl game.
I'm ill-prepared.
All right, Rose Bowl, Granddaddy the Mall, Pasadena, California, Ohio State, Oregon.
Oh, God.
Next.
I'm emotionally involved in this game, which is never a good thing. But we're going to go Ducks. By 5, 6.5.
Kyle wins. Oregon by 4.
Quack.
Why do people still respect Ohio State?
We are not picking the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah,
so
it's
that
sad
one.
That has to be part of our thought process. It's like, well, Oregon's gonna win by 20, but people still like Ohio State. So
all right, and then we're gonna regress from the
yeah. This is a great
Rose
one.
Bowl.
Get excited for this.
The International Bowl
no.
in Toronto, Canada.
All right,
between Northern Illinois and South Florida.
Oh God. All right.
This is the bowl game.
Cold weather. Not going to be too kind for the Bulls. But we're still going to go South Florida, favored by 6.5 points.
I was kind of hoping Rogers Center was a dome, but this could be bad.
Oh, maybe it is.
It probably is.
I feel like it would probably be snowing during the game.
It probably is, you're right.
I had USF by 9.5.
Doesn't matter. Kyle nailed it right on the money. USF by 6.5.
Despite your intimate knowledge of the weather
situation.
Well,
I know nothing about Northern Illinois, so.
All right, here we go.
They had Michael Turner, Garrett Wolf. Great running back you, Northern Illinois.
Next up, the Papa John's Bowl in Legion Field in Birmingham, Alabama, between UConn and South Carolina.
UConn, South Carolina.
Papa Holmes Bowl.
South Carolina. All right. Fighting Spurriers.
You've been to this game. Legion Field.
Minus. Have I?
You mean Legion Field.
Not that Legion Field, though, right?
In Birmingham, SC Tournament.
Oh, yes, I have been to Legion Field.
Playing a baseball time.
It's a nice field, as a matter of fact. All right, let's go South Carolina minus 5.
3.5.
Kyle wins. South Carolina 4.5.
Oh, God. Dude, it's coming.
Yeah, this is it.
I'm putting it on you here, Phil. Full court press.
All right, here we go. Back to a real game. The Cotton Bowl. Arlington, Texas. Mississippi. Oklahoma State.
Not played in the Cotton Bowl.
Interesting.
Played in New Cowboys Stadium.
That's right.
Of course, Jerry Jones got to get that paper, son.
You got to factor in punts hitting the, the giant screen.
And your, like, reflection. Hopefully both quarterbacks wearing visors. Yeah.
Don't worry. Next year, I believe they're putting in a game at the Cotton Bowl that will not be called the Cotton Bowl.
Great.
Awesome.
Amid all that
way to
joking,
go college football
which
tradition.
Team's playing? Ole Miss here?
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State, Ole Miss?
Yeah.
This is very tough. Both teams thought of more highly than they actually are, probably. SEC always gets the nod. Rebels minus 2.5.
Well, clearly I'm wrong. Oklahoma State by 4.5.
Kyle takes this one. Mississippi by 3.
God! Just getting so good down the stretch.
All right, here we go. Next up, the Liberty Bowl in Memphis, Tennessee, Arkansas, and Mike McCall's East Carolina.
Well, Pig Suey by maybe.
Oh, goodness.
An interesting one.
7.5.
Okay, I had ECU by 2.5.
Well, Phil, you should be embarrassed.
What?
It's Arkansas by 8.
Another half point. Oh man,
this is.
I've really made up for the beginning of the show.
Yeah, Kyle's coming up big here. All right, next up, the Alamo Bowl.
You took ECU? What, are you hanging out with Mike all weekend or something?
We'll see who wins on the field.
Yep, the Alamo Bowl in San Antonio, Texas, Michigan State, Texas Tech.
Texas. Tech, Michigan State.
Yep, those are the teams.
Goodness, I couldn't know less about this one either. I'm going to go, good God, I couldn't know less about it. I'll go pick them again.
T-Tech, 1.5.
Yep, Phil gets it. T-Tech by 8.
Nice.
Well, I couldn't know.
Yeah, I
was like, I'll keep it close.
I had no idea. No idea.
All right, here we go. My favorite bowl game.
Down 4 with 4 to play.
Oh, no.
You're a dormie here?
Here we go. This is my
favorite. So you're down 4 games with 4 to play. You got to hit all of them to tie?
Yeah.
All right, I can do this.
All right.
I can't let you come back here.
My favorite bowl game, the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. Boise State, TCU.
Another very emotional game for me.
Yeah.
All right, TCU minus 4.
8.5.
Phil gets it.
Ah!
TCU by 7.
Stays alive. Stays alive.
Treading water. Treading water.
3 to play. 3 to play.
All right, next up, the Orange Bowl. The Orange Bowl played in Landshark Stadium in Miami between Iowa and Georgia Tech.
All right, hold on. Iowa, Hawkeyes, Kirk Ferentz, Ricky Stanzi, Georgia Tech, triple option.
Yep.
Georgia Tech? Georgia Tech? Man. Yeah, Georgia Tech minus...
Don't mess up. Mess up.
5.5.
6.5.
Go under.
Georgia Tech by 4.
Yeah!
Woo! Well, Kyle's going to win, but I suppose we should play this out, right?
Just absolutely. Sure. Phil, right. Let me shake your hand. That was a good fight. That was a hell of a matchup.
All right, here we go. We got the GMAC Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Troy in Central Michigan.
How'd this get in here?
I hate that they play like...
They slip in this like crappy
game
yeah.
randomly.
Yeah.
Funny enough, this is actually like a decent little school game,
yeah,
except
really
I'm not going to watch it in the middle of all the other
big
games.
Oh, you mean January 6th when I'm back to school
already?
Yeah.
If this was played, like, the, you know, next week, I'd definitely watch this game.
Yeah.
Geez. Chips by a field goal.
3.5.
Ooh, Phil, right on the money.
Nice.
Chips by 3.5.
Very nice.
And the big one, the biggest of games, the BCS National Championship game in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California, Texas, Alabama.
I'm going to say that Phil's definitely going to win this one.
Kyle, you have nothing to play for anymore.
No, but and Phil reads all the, like, you know, what's going to happen with the line in the games where they come out stuff. He's going to have the clear advantage. Despite all that, we'll go Bama minus, good God, Bama minus 4.5.
Oh, I went bigger. I went 7.5.
Kyle takes it. Bama by 5.
Nice. Oh, wow. Boom.
All right.
Well, there you go, kids.
16-12 final.
16-12. Kyle takes this one by storm, by force. And that's it for our little experiment here. Tell us what you thought of that. Let's wrap up the show with our Gator guarantees. Phil, you're on your way out the door. Do you want to just go ahead and make yours real quick?
Yeah, UF volleyball going to upset #1 Penn State. Going to go watch it right now.
All right, bye,
well,
Phil.
As
thanks.
If UF didn't have enough working against it in this volleyball match.
Yeah, they got the Phil Kegler hex on their backs.
The Phil Kegler curse.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and make mine since it's related to that. I'm going to say Penn State sweeps UF 3-0, and Florida doesn't score more than 20 points in a single set.
All right.
Are they only 25?
Yeah, but I think that's still
every once in a while,
a strong guarantee.
Yeah, I'm not just saying they're going to get swept.
Yeah, that's 20 points. You should get 20 points in one of those sets.
Florida wins. And enjoy.
I'm going to make one that can actually hit because I usually go ridiculous too.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say we have not seen the last of the coaching exoduses for Florida. So I'm going to say that another one of their coaches is going to leave.
Are you including Bedford and Carter in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
By when? Are we setting a date?
By the bowl game.
Bedford and Carter, like, they could be, you'll include those two as two that could leave.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's a good prediction. That's very safe.
I make one I can win?
No,
every
I feel
once
good
in a while?
About both of ours being fairly safe.
I'm still on for the year, so I'll keep that strong.
Phil is literally walking out the door talking about how bad he is at this thing. Phil is gone. We're going to wrap up the show. We're going to get out of here. Send any feedback to podcast@alligator.org. I believe we'll be back at the beginning of next week with some kind of show. We're coming into exam time here. We're all about to go our separate ways. And then stay tuned for the Christmas break. We could have a special treat for you.
Can Toby Gerhardt and Stanford really not cover 8.5? Like, what is Vegas trying to do me here? What's wrong here?
I know. That's
no, what, like, seriously, I'm going to bet on this game. I'm going to lose all my money.
Backup quarterback.
Is that much of a difference? I guess, right? Because Stanford plays no D. Yeah. Oklahoma's got a good D.
So you just got to shoot Stanford. Yeah, if Oklahoma can just put 11 in the box against Toby.
Oklahoma's offense is real bad, but maybe they'll just do score anyway because Stanford's defense is non-existent.
That's what I'm going to say. Big 12, yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's gonna
I'm so perplexed. Yeah. I couldn't be more confused about that one.
We've certainly given you a lot to think about. Maybe on the next podcast, we might come back, actually do some bowl predictions, say who we think's going to win, do a little bowl pick'em challenge type thing. Probably going to talk about some more of these Florida coaching changes, pretty much whatever we have to talk about at the beginning of next week. Come back. Stay tuned for that. Thanks for listening.
End the show, Barry.